Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today is Thursday, November 9th. I'm your host, Stephen Overly.
And I'm tech policy reporter Rebecca Kern. I cover social media companies.
There's been a lot of attention this week on this former Meta executive, Arturo Bejar. And Rebecca and I have been following his comments closely. Bejar is the latest whistleblower to come forward, expressing concerns about how Meta handles online content aimed at kids. He testified before the Senate earlier this week, and he's been cooperating with investigations brought by both the Federal Trade Commission and state attorneys general. Rebecca, what has this week meant for Meta?
It really just solidifies a lot of what the former Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen has brought up 2 years ago, but brings a lot more heat on Congress to act and pass legislation to protect kids, and more attention on the state lawsuits that this whistleblower has participated in.
Now, Meta has pushed back on Bejar's accusations. In particular, the company notes more than 30 features and controls have been added in recent years that aim to make Facebook and Instagram safer for kids. Bejar says that's not enough. On the show today, Rebecca and I sat down with him shortly after his Senate testimony to talk about his experience inside Meta and why he's coming forward now.
Here's our conversation.
Yeah, it's recording and I'm good.
Great. Well, listen, thank you again for making the time to speak with us. You know, we're catching you just shortly after you testified before Congress. How do you think your message was received?
It was an amazing experience watching senators from across the political spectrum kind of talking, kind of one-upping each other about the importance of this and that we're willing, what they are willing to do. Was amazing. I mean, I have this feeling that there's a real opportunity right now for bipartisan legislation that will drive change on this most important of issues.
I wonder if you think that legislation will actually be moving.
Well, I hope so, because I believe that the only way this will change is if these companies are compelled to be transparent about the harms that teens and kids experience on their products.
Why did you come forward now? You sent these emails to the executives at Instagram and Facebook back in 2021.
So at first I wanted to give them time to see if they would fix it, like build the things that I talk about with them that they understood about. And agreed that needed to be built from my conversations with Adam Mosseri. Then in January, I was compelled to testify for the FTC, and I saw for the first time after I had left the email that I wrote to Mark and the email that I wrote to Adam. I found the numbers deeply upsetting when they were like right in front of me again. And that is the moment where I was a very helpful witness. And also got compelled by the AGs, and I worked with them on what they were doing. And so I've spent most of this year getting to this point. And I think the last part is when the journal will publish its article was the moment that I was going to enter the public conversation on these issues. But I've spent most of this year working on this.
And those experiences of, you know, testifying or with the FTC, with the attorneys general, I mean, what did you sort of take away from that experience yourself about how these companies are operating and handling these issues?
By the time I left, the executives knew the extent of the harms that teens were experiencing on the platform. And I called out attention to three or four of them that I felt personally because my experiences with my daughter and her friends. If you look at the rest, there's a meaningful amount of issues that are awful for teens, for identity-based. There's just all kinds of like bad things happening. And the fact that almost all of that is not addressed by the current sort of narrow policy, I think it is terrible. And it's not a matter of making that policy bigger. It's a matter of like helping the teen with what they're dealing with in the moment, because they know when something is unwanted. And it's about helping them with that. And so I left and I found that, you know, most people don't understand that. So when I was talking at the FTC, when I was talking to the AGs, people because of the way the company has talked about it for years, people think about the problem of like, yeah, I can build something that will find, I know it when I see it. But when you take a step back and you ask teens about what they're experiencing, just imagine all of the ways to send a teen a sexualized direct message. How many ways there are to express that? You will never build a list in advance of what all of those ways are. We need to give teens a tool to help with that. And then let that information, like a button, a counter, help to make the site safe, because you should let other teens and anybody else know, you know, this is not the place for unwanted sexual advances. And I found that a lot of people did not understand that. And that's why I spent a year kind of talking to people. I wrote everything I knew, which I've published, free for anybody to look at and comment on, because I think it's something that people should know and that parents actually know because they see their kids going through this.
And you talk about proposed product changes at Instagram. And in the hearing earlier this week, you described meeting with Meta's chief product officer, Chris Cox, and that you said he was aware of these harms when you were asking if they're aware of the data that you'd found. So I wanted to see how widely known you thought or you learned that leadership was aware of these issues.
Yeah, so what I found was that Facebook research had done for years surveys that pointed out the gap between the harms that people were experiencing and this kind of narrow policy-based approach, which is what they called prevalence, sort of like grading your own homework. So researchers knew, product managers, all the people on the ground knew, and they wanted to build things to make this better. And then the question is, why are they not building it? And I thought, you know, executive leadership did not know. And when I spoke to Chris and I found that he knew, I found that heartbreaking. And then I realized it was important to make sure that Mark and Cheryl and Adam, people that I had worked with very closely for years, that they all knew, because in my experience, if you're an executive and you're aware of a critical gap and something that's affecting the people that you serve, then you have a responsibility to act on that. And so I really hope that my messages to them would compel them to act.
In that vein, I mean, as you said, you reached out to all these top executives, including Mark Zuckerberg and Adam Mosseri, and that they didn't really take action based on the concerns you raised. I mean, were you surprised by that, given that you did have this previous relationship with them?
Yeah, my previous experience of me sending that kind of an email, which I did for years, is that the next day I would get meetings with them, that they would be to help me understand the data, what can we build. And I mean, I could give examples of that. When the company was going to go public, I was the person that they asked to verify the number of active users for the filing within engineering. And so I was surprised that I didn't get a response and a conversation. Eventually, I did meet with Adam, and I was very hopeful after that conversation. But at the same time, you know, actions speak louder than words. And at this point, there should be something that a teen has that helps them when they experience an unwanted sexual advance on Instagram.
And it sounded like Zuckerberg did not respond to your email. What do you think of that? What does that say about his leadership style?
In my experience, the strategy for the company to deal with these issues would need to be approved by him, questioned by him, understood by him. I used to do all of the product reviews for the area that I was responsible for, tech and care, with him and Cheryl and the whole executive leadership team. And he would engage very detailed on that. The moment I realized that the whole company, the way it was investing, supporting, and dealing with issues, was based on this narrow definition of harm contrasted with what people are experiencing, which is 100, 200, 400 times, depending on when you compare the numbers. That's why I wrote to him. Like, I really felt that he would read that and that he didn't know. And based on that data, which is as stark as can be, would then engage to drive change. And the fact that he didn't reply, that he didn't engage in a conversation around it, That it was, my understanding was Adam who did it for Instagram. But in my experience, like Mark really is in those conversations and he sets that direction for the company with the advice of some very talented people. And I mean, that's why I wrote to him, right? And the fact that he didn't follow up and it's been years. And as of, if you ask today, they will still say, yeah, you know, prevalence of bullying and harassment, the likelihood that somebody will see that is 0.11%, 0.8%. You can look at it on their website. At the same time in which people are telling them, like one in five, 13 to 15 year olds in the last 7 days watched it happening, right? How do you reconcile those two numbers? And there, it's very doable. I mean, I think you take that number and you understand what content is driving it, right? What do people do when they run into it? Can we help them with that? And it's a process that's been done before. It doesn't require massive investment. It just requires prioritizing what people are experiencing as the North Star for that work.
You said in your first stint at the company in its earlier days, you found executives were very responsive, you know, met with you, addressed these issues head on. And then the second time around, you did not get that same response and engagement from them. Had something changed in the leadership or in the company culture that you think drove that change in response?
Yeah, I think my experience of that, again, based on what I found and researched and drove the work that I did, it says this is a company where metrics are everything. There isn't a problem that you can ask about where there isn't just such a wonderful framework, a top-level metric, people whose job rewards depend on hitting that metric. And when it came to harm, that metric was prevalence. And so when I tried for the Instagram team to have a goal on unwanted sexual advances as experienced by teens, it just couldn't get it to stick, if that makes sense. And we did get support to get more data, which is where the survey that I talk about came from. And then I realized until there's a goal by the company to reduce unwanted sexual advances all for teens or kids, nothing's going to change. And the reason I don't think I can get that goal in place is because goals are getting set from the top around prevalence. And if you look at some of the materials I provided Congress, you see many examples of issues where the company is aware that content that they don't take down is as harmful as content that they do take down by the experience of people. And so that's why I went to the top.
This all seems to point straight back to Zuckerberg. Do you think he should be held personally liable for knowing that these harms were happening and not taking action?
I cannot speak to like liability questions or really motivation questions. My job in this part was I found out how bad it was to document that very clearly, to make sure that there were things that they could have done, to make sure they knew them. And I cannot think of a person kind of more sort of qualified to give that feedback respectfully. Cheryl actually wrote back and said, thank you for bringing this up so thoughtfully, something like that. Now, my job throughout this year has been, and I do, by the way, wonder, like, should I have done this earlier? I don't know. This just seems to be a good moment for this because of the attention that it's getting that would hopefully drive change. But my job here is through talking to you and the things that I've written that are on my website and things that I've done that is to help people who understand liability, people who understand legislation. I used to be the person on the inside that would answer the inquiries that came in from regulators and other people. So I know what they're saying when they talk about it. I know how they used to think about it. And now my job is on the other side to be like, okay, let me tell you what I believe you should know with the most accuracy and clarity that I can. I will gladly answer any questions, only speak to what I know. And then hopefully the world, right? The Senate, the AGs, people who are doing litigation. I will not participate in any for-profit stuff. This is retirement. All I will do will be pro bono on this stuff. But my hope is that the world will know what it needs to know in order to hold these companies to account and to compel what's needed to drive change so that, I don't know, hopefully sometime in the next year or so, like our kids, right? Even my daughter at 19, right? She still would love to have that button. And because, you know, what is a good age to get an unwanted sexual advance, right?
We'll be right back. I heard you say this in your testimony, the idea that kids should have a mechanism for communicating when there's content that makes them uncomfortable or feel bad. I guess, you know, if I'm to play devil's advocate here, right, you know, I understand unwanted sexual advances, you know, explicit harassment. Those are, to me, feel like definable problems. You know, talk about sort of content that makes a kid feel bad or makes them uncomfortable. It starts to feel squishy. And so I guess for a platform like Instagram or like Facebook at the scale that it has, how does it actually address that content that is maybe not as easy to define?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. That's actually a fantastic question. So the way to think about it is I believe in free expression deeply. I believe that you should be able to post whatever the platform policies allow you to post, right? But what happens today is the following, which is, and I'll talk about a concrete example that I was a part of when I was inside the company. So there's a content called Thinspiration. And that content does really terrible depictions of body image, boys and girls that are too skinny, but they're fully clothed. Where you draw that line is such a hard problem. But wherever you draw the line, there are going to be people who are like right next to the line and up who post the content that when you and I look at it or a teen looks at it, we go like, oh. So what you need to be able to say as a teen is, you know, that it's not for me. Why? Oh, because it's just an awful depiction of body image. Thank you for letting me know. And I'm going to use that information so I just don't show that to you anymore. And then the company decides, because the issue here is not what are people able to say, but the responsibility the company has for the content that it recommends. So they know when a kid is doom scrolling Thinspiration content, and they could be like, you know, can we go look at some squirrels now? Like, and again, these are things where like, we want to have like, it's not a matter of like changing the policies and the definitions. It's more a matter of like giving the teens agency. I worked with teens for years and I'd see it in my daughter and all of her friends. They're like so sharp. They understand these things so well. And I believe if we gave them a way for them to tell that it's not for them, you know, as a company, you listen, right? And then you recommend stuff that, in the words of my own daughter, when I talk about it, it's wholesome.
We know that you have testified as part of this bipartisan AG lawsuit. Over 40 states have filed a lawsuit against Meta, alleging they were aware of these harms that their products posed on youth. And I wanted to see what outcome you think will come of that, and if you think that's the most likely way they'll force Meta to make changes. We know Congress can be slow to act. So just curious what you think will come of that lawsuit.
I can only hope, right? What I can speak to is they knew how bad it was for teens. There are things, very doable things, that they could have done. It really doesn't have to be the way that it is today. They're not that complicated things to do. It just requires to prioritize and set goals based on these metrics, which is what they do as a business. And they chose not to do it over and over again. Like, I don't feel we can trust them with our teens based on, I mean, people can look at the data and see what it means for them, or talk to your kids and see what it means to you. The only way this will change is if AGs succeed, which I deeply hope they do. They're such wonderful, smart, well-motivated people. Everybody I met on the Hill understood the problem, was very thoughtful, was wanting to drive change. Like, And so I hope, I deeply hope that they do. The day that Mark has to declare the number of unwanted sexual advances as part of earnings or equivalent is the day that number will start going down very quickly, because I can tell you it's been holding steady, right? Probably years before I brought it up, and now years after I brought it up.
It's interesting. You were saying earlier how, you know, part of what you're doing now is helping to explain to, you know, regulators and lawmakers kind of how, you know, the decisions that these companies are making, make them better informed. I wonder what you can share with the, or what you are sharing or can share with us about what motivates these companies, how to get them to actually make change. You know, is it legal risk? Is it financial penalties? You know, I think that that's the question that a lot of folks are asking, is how do you force change at companies that, as you said, don't seem to be doing that themselves, even when presented with the evidence?
I think for anybody who is wondering what is the best place in which to drive change, like with these companies, if you're in a position to do that, what I would say is any way in which you can get them to, in this case, talk about what people are actually experiencing, be transparent about it, and compelled to set a goal on that. How many 13-year-olds should be receiving unwanted sexual advances in the last 7 days? That is what will drive the most lasting change in the company, because this is one way to think about Meta. It's really like one of the most extraordinary machines built in history to take a number and drive it in a direction. And the numbers so far have been engagement, and then the other number is prevalence. And stuff that doesn't fit within those two doesn't get resourced, doesn't get prioritized. And so I believe the most effective way to drive change is to mandate transparency on harms, not by their grading their own homework definition of it, which is, again, necessary but not sufficient, but also by requiring them to like set a goal on those numbers. And that will drive lasting change in a company like this. And that's the best that I can offer from my years of working in the industry and my understanding of companies who seem to really not want to help useful regulation. The way they talk about these things is misleading and confusing. They make it seem like there is nuance to it. There's really very little nuance to, like, you know, a kid receives something that makes them uncomfortable, that's harassing them because of their identity, because something that happened at school that day, because of their sex. You know, can you help me? Sure. What can I help you with? This. Or let me record that and use that to let other kids or whomever's initiating the thing, that this is not the place for that. It's not complicated at all, and they do seem to make it that way.
Who should grade the homework, if not the companies themselves?
The people who use the product. If you do this correctly, a few years from now, the number of teens who receive unwanted sexual advances by their own communication to the company should be as low as they can reasonably make it. Also, it is essential that you bring in experts from Yale, the people who work with kids on body image, on bullying and harassment, as we did 10 years ago, and put them in with the product and engineering team. Because if what you do is they talk to the policy team, you can ask any of them about product changes that came out of their work. And the name of the game here is driving product change that helps teens.
You still have deep contacts at Meta and in the tech industry at large, I'm sure. What kind of response have you gotten since you've come forward with your concerns?
Thank you for speaking out. Every parent that I've spoken to is like, I have 3, 7, 9-year-old kids, and I'm really scared and worried about this. I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for the opportunity to give voice to something and confirm what every parent knows today. Every parent, every grandparent. And yeah, it is as bad as they think it is. And there's things that they can do. And, you know, the world should compel them to do them.
Have you gotten the opposite response from anyone in tech who sort of feels like you should not have aired this laundry, or, you know, brought regulators and lawyers and everything else sort of into this conversation?
I had one conversation where they sort of questioned useful regulation, but I think that was from somebody who I think doesn't yet understand that the way you get good regulation is by helping regulators understand the problem. I mean, laws are take away the bad things and keep the good things. And there's good in social media. And we don't need to have the bad that we get from it today. And that was the only one. But it's been one conversation. Most people are very supportive.
Excellent. Arturo, well, thank you so much for joining us on Politico Tech. Appreciate it.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much for the time.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our senior producer is Annie Reese. Our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. I'll see you back here tomorrow.